And that's what the magic of NLP gives us. It allows us to find out the strategies. It allows us to find out the values and the filter patterns and the belief systems that become the propulsion for running those strategies. Because that's what values and belief systems are. They're the propulsion that set off the strategies in the first place. So NLP allows us to go much deeper than just conscious modeling that most people would do. If you look at especially the singers will imagine being that person. That's kind of like deep trance identification. We do that in Leadership Explosion, where we actually put you in a deep trance and you take that person on. Because Bandler and Grinder said better than conscious modeling is actually to become that person. And Grinder used to do that for U.S. intelligence. He used to go into foreign countries and he would do deep trance identification. This is the U.S. Intelligence that did this. They would do deep trance identification so that they could become that foreign person, so they could quickly learn languages and take on the culture of the people. So the U.S. intelligence would actually use deep trance identification for that purpose. Which is kind of like what the singer does when they fully imagine being the person that they idolize or are looking up to. So we can do that by taking it on to that degree, because when we take it on to that degree, then it shines through us. Then if we find out what the filter patterns are, that gives us the additional power. So on page 4-5 it says, modeling the concept. Given a specific behavior, ability, or skill that an individual can perform, one can replicate that behavior, ability, or skill in half the time it took to teach the skill originally. We start with the idea that all people are equal in terms of physical and mental capabilities. The only differences are the issues of motivation, which are the values, beliefs, and attitudes which drive one to be excellent. An independent variable in the training function either sticks or carrots is the motivation force. So the values and the beliefs are those driving forces which trigger the strategies that produce an end result. Right? So if you look at, and this is where we actually begin to get into, we didn't teach macro or meta strategies at the practitioner level. We teach micro strategies. Micro strategies are those things that you run through in a moment's time inside your head, like the decision-making strategy or the motivation strategy. A macro strategy would be a bigger level strategy. And then a meta strategy is the strategy that causes you to choose all of your macro and micro strategies. Now, what I'm doing is I'm using jargon to explain a little bit more complex about what you would look for in the modeling process. So, for example, if you wanted to model the leadership tools of Jesus of Nazareth, let's say you wanted to go in and you wanted to model the visionary leadership tools of Jesus of Nazareth, what you'd want to find out is you'd want to find out what his meta strategies were, his macro strategies, and also the micro strategies if you could. Now, what we say in modeling is that what's not important is whether or not the model is true, right, real, or factual. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we're able to produce a model that becomes a roadmap that we can use to produce a certain result. So, because when you think of a model, like let's take if you were to build a model of New York, like let's say we're going to build a model of the city of New York. That model we could then use to, perhaps we could build in new transport systems and subway systems, and we could build them into the model so we could see what it would look like. Okay, so now the model of New York or the map of New York isn't really New York, it's just a model. So what's important about that model is its usefulness. How can we use that model to maybe make new changes to the city of New York when that time comes? So the model doesn't have to be real or true or right. What it does have to be is useful. So if the model becomes a useful roadmap that allows us, by following this useful roadmap, to produce the same result, then it's a useful model. Robert Diltz did a modeling project of Jesus of Nazareth, of the visionary leadership tools of Jesus of Nazareth. He found out some useful things. He went in and he found out, he did a linguistic analysis on the Bible. And he found that through his linguistic analysis of the Bible that he wanted to find out how often Jesus used visual terms versus auditory versus kinesthetic. Like what was his primary representational system? Now, it's tough to do because Jesus didn't leave any writings, nor did Buddha, right? But what he could do is he could look at every time Jesus was quoted as saying something and look and say, okay, well, based upon all the quotes of where he was quoted, what representational systems did he use most often from these quotes? What he did find was that the word heart was mentioned, I think it was like 80 times in the Bible, the word heart. Although he would often talk about the auditory digital representational system. In fact, the auditory digital representational system was the most widely written in the quotes of Jesus. In talking about the word of God, or the word, and he would talk about the word. And therefore, he took that. Robert Dills took that to mean that the word was very important. That the auditory digital representational system carried a lot of meaning for Jesus in terms of the ability to, in terms of meaning. Just meaning in general. Then the word heart was mentioned like 82 times, which had some meaning as well. Overall, Robert, after doing his, he was looking at all the various what representational systems were being used and so on and so forth. I found some of that information useful, some of it lesser useful. But then he started talking about the healing patterns of Jesus. And he noticed that he made a map. He made a useful map of how Jesus would do a healing, for example. So Jesus, interestingly enough, whenever Jesus would do a healing, or oftentimes when he would do a healing, he would touch the person, which was unusual for healers of the time, because most they had other miracle workers at the time. Other rabbis would go and they'd pray for the person inside a church or something, or inside a synagogue, wherever they prayed. So they'd go in and they'd pray for that person would be healed. What Jesus did differently was he would touch people. Now there was a specific strategy that he used. He would touch them. Then he would look up, which is what? So he's touching him and then he's looking up, which is a visual representational system. Now we could say that he's accessing visual, or we could say he's looking up to the heavens, whatever we choose to make that mean. From an NLP perspective, we'd say he was accessing visual, right? So we'd say there was the kinesthetic, he's accessing visual, and then he would sigh. Right, he would sigh, which could be kinesthetic. He would sigh, and then the person would be healed. But what we can do is we can look at that and we can go, okay, well, there's a map that we can follow in order to produce the same result if we're modeling those healing patterns. So if we were to model the healing patterns of Jesus, we might touch the person first, look up, sigh, and then have that person healed. Now, another thing that Jesus also did in the healing patterns was he would say, he was healing the blind man at one point, and the blind man says, "Oh, Master, can you heal my eyes? Can you make me see?" And Jesus said, "Do you believe that I can?" The man said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Then it is your faith that shall heal you." And he rubbed mud in his eyes and he said, "Open your eyes and see." Now, when we look at these healing patterns, there were certain consistencies that happened in the strategy, the order and sequence of things that Jesus stepped through. Now, what we do is we say, okay, well, there's a strategy that I can try on, and if I try that on, then I should use that as a roadmap to produce the same result. Is it actually the strategy that Jesus used? Doesn't matter. What does matter is, if we follow this, can we produce that same result? Now, in terms of healing, if you look at the faith healers and so on and so forth today, like they've got Benny Hinn on television, he's a lot of that from an NLP perspective, we might say, is kind of hypnotic. It's like hypnosis. But if we bring in Jesus' healing patterns, then yeah, we should be able to do the same healing pattern. Of course, Jesus always said, all these things that I do and more, you too shall do if you just have the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Yeah. So when we know that, we can follow those strategies. Now, I found some really neat strategies by studying Richard Branson and by studying Rupert Murdoch in terms of financial strategies for managing my own finances, in terms of investment strategies, in terms of business strategies for running a business. Interestingly enough, like if you look at a Tony Robbins, as well as Rupert Murdoch,